Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Holy Gospel according to John, beginning with the 10th chapter at the 11th verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And the hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. Now I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We call this, of course, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And traditionally, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the text tells the story again that Jesus leads us as the Good Shepherd. And hence, this day is often known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Probably the most familiar biblical text for the Christian community remains that 23rd Psalm. Its deeply comforting description of the Good Shepherd, who speaks profoundly to the spiritual need of Christian disciples of every age and place. So today, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the church celebrates Jesus as the incarnation of the Good Shepherd. And if you read carefully our lessons, you'll note that they advance our understanding of what it means that the risen Christ has become the Good Shepherd for us. So take a look, for instance, at this first lesson from the book of Acts today. Here Jesus has been described as the one name under heaven by whom all mortals may be saved. The Good Shepherd brings salvation to all humanity. Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd in the Gospel of John in this way when we hear these words, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Good Shepherd stands in contrast to the hired hands who runs away at the first sign of trouble. The shepherd knows and cares for the sheep, and he will lay down his life for them. He unites the sheep into one flock. We see the strength of his love for us in what he has done. And then we have our second lesson, what we call the epistle from the letter of John. And it sort of goes in a bit of a different direction. It lays out our responsible for us to be the good shepherd. Just as Jesus so loved us that he laid down his life for us, we are called to be a servant of others. Truth and action characterize our love. God responds to our prayers. In return, we obey his commandment and we do as he asks us to do. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and then we go out into the world and we love one another. Those who obey his commandments abide in him, and then he abides in them. God is a good shepherd to us, and we are called to be a shepherd to others. This morning, I would like to explore this line from the Apostle of John's letter as it relates to this idea of Christ as the Good Shepherd. Here John writes, "All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us." And so as we sit here today and contemplate this lesson, we might ask ourselves, well, what does this mean? If we obey Christ, the Spirit is in us. How does that work out in our lives? Several years ago, Time magazine, in cooperation with the National Institute of Health, conducted a poll over 6 years. And the poll reported that millions of Americans are significantly affected by stress and anxiety. A related health statistic indicates, unfortunately, a suicide takes place every 2 minutes in our country. And it particularly affects young people between the ages of 15 and 24, who are most affected by this problem. So you say to yourself, isn't it ironic? Here we are, we live in the wealthiest nation on earth. And for the most part, people here are well fed and housed. Even the poor of our nation receive significant social services and aid through the government. And here in our own congregation, people line up on Saturday. They can get clothing here. They can get food here. Boxes of food. The housing, I'm a member and on the board of an organization that provides housing for people in low-income people in our community. And I can tell you this, the housing our organization offers is very good. People come in there who've been living on the street, who have nothing, and suddenly they have a townhouse ready for their use. You know, but you can compare this to the rest of the world. And when you do, you see that from the top of our society to the bottom, we live well, all things considered. Yet in the midst of our material wealth, people are still stressed. They're still anxious. They're still stressed and anxious to the point that problems can become life-threatening, damaging to our bodies and to our minds. Stress and anxiety derive from worry, and worry is grounded in uncertainty. So let me ask you a question. What is it that worries you? Some people worry about their financial resources, or maybe their health, or maybe they're worrying about how their children will do. Others may worry about parents or employment or the state of their marriage. You know, there's a whole bag full of worries out there. There's no shortage of reason for us to worry. We understand that. And we also know something else. Christians worry too. We probably worry about the same things that bother non-Christians. So we're all sort of in the same boat. The problem, of course, is that we know worry is detrimental to both our physical and mental health. Once I received an invitation to a seminar in Boston that dealt with how stress creates inflammatory diseases and mood changes. When someone says they are worried sick, you know what? They're probably right. Worry and stress can make us ill. Now, I don't need to convince you about the destructive nature of stress, anxiety, worry. You've seen it in your own life, or maybe the life of a loved one. What I need to do is convince you your Christian faith ought to be a buffer against worry and stress. And here's the thesis, here's the point of my sermon. Worry ultimately conflicts with our faith in God. Maybe you recall, of course, what Jesus taught his disciples. He said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Instead, we are called to strive for God's kingdom and told that all we need will be given to us as well. God provides." I know it's not an easy thing to set aside worries. You know, you think about it. I don't know about you, but I can tell you this for myself. Come 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, suddenly my eyes are sort of popping open, and I find myself awake, and I'm thinking about this problem, and I'm thinking about that problem, and I lie there saying, "Richard, go to sleep." But it doesn't happen. I don't like those nagging little thoughts that won't let go of me. And I don't like it when they keep me awake when I need my rest. Sometimes I just have to talk to myself and say, "Hey, let go of that worry. Think about something else. Think about something positive." Most often, worry turns out to really be pretty non-productive use of our time and energy. It doesn't accomplish much, if anything. But most of all, I remind myself worry is really a kind of denial of my Christian faith. We confess that Christ is our good shepherd, and we confess that he cares and provides for us. But you know what? Worry denies Christ as the good shepherd. If you affirm the 23rd Psalm, if you believe Christ is your good shepherd, then let go of the worry. If Christ truly is your good shepherd, how can you let stress and anxiety shape and determine who you are in your life? The Lord makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. Think about that imagery. Isn't it a restful scene? Once I received a tape. Remember when we used to get tapes and put them in a tape recorder back in the old days? I got one in the mail. And when I did that, I played it. And it taught me, it's this tape. The voice on the tape described in detail. That was part of what it did. It walked me through. It walked me through a green pasture and by a forest. That's what the narrator was doing, talking about that. And he led me to still waters. Well, the imagery, obviously, of that tape, of that narrative, of that story, sort of came alive, and I had one of those aha experiences. I learned an important lesson from the tape. And the lesson I learned is I need to believe more strongly the words I confess through this 23rd Psalm. To me, the verse that I return to again and again is this one. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Knowing Christ to be the good shepherd, and knowing that he will be with me throughout my life, that's a key to good health. It's a key to peace within ourselves. And so for today, I say this, may Christ as the good shepherd bring that peace that passes all understanding to your life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.